Let's turn in Proverbs chapter 3. And it's from Proverbs chapter 3. We want to bring God's word this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, and commencing to read at verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honour the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And verses 5 and 6 I want to leave just before you today. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. With God's word open before us, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to the preaching of thy precious word. And Lord, in handling the word of God, we need the help of the Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray that just now, Lord, thou would empty me of self and of sin, fill me with thy Spirit. I pray, O Lord, for each one in this congregation today, that we would know the Lord speaking to us. Lord, this is thy word. Lord, help us not to be distracted as thou would speak. Help us not to be concerned about other things. O Lord, help us to listen with our ear and with our heart. Give us, Lord, obedient, yielded spirits. And whatever thou would say to us, Lord, help us to do it. Pray especially for those in this congregation this morning who are facing difficult times. And perhaps, O Lord, they're just wondering where the next step is. We pray, O Lord, you'll open the way for them. I pray, O Lord, you'll give peace to the troubled heart today. I pray, O Lord, you'll give instruction for those who desire thy will. And I pray, Lord, that we will leave this meeting knowing we've met with God and we've been changed by God. Lord, we need thy Spirit to come. Fill the sanctuary, we pray. Give us wisdom, give us power. And we'll be careful to give thee all the praise and the honor and the glory. For thou alone art worthy of all these things, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The book of Proverbs contains many instructions for mankind, covering many of the circumstances of life that they will face. They're words of wisdom, encouragement, warning, example, and truth. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through to verse 7, we have the purpose of the Proverbs, or the purpose of the word of God there. And it says in verse number 2, to know wisdom and instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. And the reason these things have been given, indeed the whole of the word of God has been given, is that we might know wisdom. Now, not the wisdom that the world speaks of, not the facts and the figures that the world often presents as the wisdom of mankind, but that we might know the wisdom of God. And that's why God's word has been given. Naturally, we do not know God's wisdom. Naturally, we do not know the mind and the will of God, but we come to God's word because this is the way God speaks to man. And if you want to know what God would say to your soul, if you want to know the way you ought to go, if you want to know the way a Christian ought to live, if you want to know the way a church ought to function, if you want to know the way to go forward in evangelism and to see the Lord truly bless, then you come to God's word. Don't listen to the wisdom of man, but come to God's word and see what he would say to you. And you know the very first thing that the Lord gives instruction on in the book of Proverbs from verse 8 to verse number 19 in chapter number 1? It is about sin. The enticement of sin. There is always a battle against sin, even for the child of God. So often we are tempted and tried in many ways. There's a thing that doth so easily beset. And it says in verse number 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Oh, what would it be if God's people lived by that little verse? When sinners entice thee, when the devil tempts thee, when the world would call thee to come in to their places, consent thou not. Do not do it. And then we find in verses 20 down to verse number 33, we have the call of wisdom. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse at the opening of the gates. And then you'll find that in the word of God, wisdom is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wisdom is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whenever you read of wisdom in the book of Proverbs, you could substitute that word with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will find that the man that getteth wisdom, the man that getteth Christ, is blessed, is happy, getteth understanding. There's also a great warning here for those who reject wisdom. And from verses 24 down to the end, there's a great warning for those who hear the voice of God, for those who know what God would say, and for those who walk away. For those who walk away. Proverbs chapter 2, which we read a few moments ago, we have the benefits and the blessings of wisdom. And the word of God tells us that if you seek after wisdom, then you will be blessed. Notice that the wisdom of God, when you follow the paths of God, you'll be delivered from two things. Verse number 12 says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. And then verse number 16 says, to deliver thee from the strange woman. And I believe in these two verses, the evil man speaks to us of the world. It speaks to us of the ungodly in the world who would seek to entice thee to sin, who would love to see thy testimony destroyed. People who would love you to be living sinfully and wickedly, even though you are born again of the Spirit of God. And then I believe that the strange woman mentioned here is speaking to those who would entice you to immoral and sinful worship. Immoral and sinful worship. Look at verses 16 and 17. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, which forgetteth the covenant of her God. And you know, there are many people around today, and many movements today, and they're just like this strange woman. There are those who would give you a feel-good religion. Come in to feel good about yourself. Come in to have a little self-worth. And you know, whenever somebody see it, praise the Lord, he gives joy within the heart. There's a real love for the Lord. There's a real love for life. But notice that it says, this is a lady who forsakes the true guide and one who forsakes or forgets the true covenant. And does that not speak to us of many religions in this world today? They want a feel-good religion, but it forsakes the true guide, which is God and the Word. It forgets the true covenant. And without the true covenant, through the bloodshed in Calvary, there is no religion. And then we come to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. Look at what verse number 1 says. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And here we have my son. And here's a relationship that's necessary. My son, these commandments are for the child of God. If you're saved, if you can say that the Lord is your heavenly father, Christ is your elder brother, well then, this is for you. Here's what the Lord says to his people. Forget not my law. There is the guide and the measure of holiness. Now that word law specifically relates to the first five books of the Word of God, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the law of God, the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments, concisely. And then it says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And the word commandments really is speaking of any command, precept, or ordinance in the rest of Scripture. And therefore, the Ten Commandments are given, and then every other instruction from the Lord is given. But notice what it says, let thine heart. And there is often the great problem. Let thine heart keep my commandments. And sometimes Christians could get into this state where they're walking about and they're doing the outward thing that is right, but their heart's not right. They do what is right outwardly because they're scared of the consequences if they do wrong, but their heart is not right. And we need to pray that the Lord would deal with our heart. And this is why we're coming now to verse number 5 and verse number 6, because these are the words that the Lord has laid in my heart for this congregation this morning. And verse number 5 says, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now that word trust, it means to be confident. To be confident, to be sure, to be bold because of what you believe. And what the Lord is saying here is he desires your confidence and your trust and your hope to be in him. And you might say, but surely a Christian is trusting in the Lord. Yes, for salvation. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In other words, for everything, for every day, for every moment, for every circumstance of life. Child of God, here's God's message for you this morning. Trust him. Trust him. What must we trust the Lord for? Well, we must trust him for everything. First of all, we must trust him for salvation. You see, the sinner is saved by the grace of God and through Christ alone. Only the Lord can save. We dare not look at any other. The blood that was shed on Calvary and the offering up of Christ as a spotless sacrifice is the only means of salvation. And therefore, in this meeting this morning, if you're not saved, you must trust Christ for salvation. He's the only one who can save you. Not only that, but we must trust him for sanctification. See, the word says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The Lord has saved us, and we all agree with that. But some people think, well, I must try and become more like the Savior. You must trust in the Lord that he would make you more like him. And as we obey the Lord in the means of grace, that is us trusting him. Trusting him. And as we take of the means of grace, then we grow to be like our Savior. What are those means of grace that God has given to us? The Word of God. In personal study and public preaching, as we read God's word, we're trusting the Lord. As we read God's word, we are becoming more like our Savior. In prayer, both in private and public prayer, baptism is a means of grace. It's something that God has commanded his people to do, to be baptized. And in doing so, you're obeying the command of God and you're blessed of God. The Lord's Supper is a means of grace. We meet here on the second Sunday of the morning service each month, to meet around the Lord's Supper, to remember his death until he come. And the reason we do that is that we would keep before us the cross. We would remind ourselves how we were saved, what we were saved from, what we are saved to, and that there is coming a day that we will sit down at a greater supper. We will sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that is a means of strengthening God's people. Another means of grace that God has given to us is the church. Committing to your New Testament church, coming into membership, coming into fellowship, going and working with the church, praying with the church, supporting the church, and seeking to win others to the work of God. We must trust the Lord for salvation, for sanctification. We must trust the Lord for security. Security. You know, a Christian can get into great bondage when they consider that they have great enemies to face. And I've had people say to me before that the thought has occurred to them, the closer I get to the Lord and the closer I grow to the Lord, then the more trials and the more attacks I have to face. And always, there's almost a fear of going on. I might just be better as I am. And this is often because of the thought that I have to be faithful. I have to stand against the enemies of Christ and I may fail. But child of God, read the Bible and you will find that the Bible tells us Christians never stand alone. We stand in Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we're never to stand against Satan or the enemies of the gospel alone. We are to stand in Christ. We are to stand with Christ. There's also a fear sometimes in the heart of the child of God that when I sin and fail, I'm not as safe in Christ or my salvation as I would be when I'm obedient and faithful. In other words, I can be more secure in Christ at one time and less secure at another time. We know that we all sin in thought and word and deed every day. And yes, we ought to keep short accounts with God. Of course, we ought to do that. Keep a clean hands and a pure heart. But the Word of God tells us we can never be any more secure in God's salvation or any less secure than we are now in Christ. We are secure eternally. We are in the Father's hand. We cannot be lost. It's God's work. He commences it and He completes it. We must trust the Lord for salvation, for sanctification, for security, but also for supply. For supply and for service. For supply and for service. In other words, we must trust the Lord for the power to say no to sin and to go through with God. This is not something you can just resolve in and of your own desire, but you must pray and ask the Lord to give you the boldness to say no, to give you the strength to say no, to give you the wisdom to say no. And you know, as you read the Word, you'll know when to say no. And then also to go through with God. We need to pray and trust the Lord for understanding the Scripture. Whenever you come to read God's Word in the morning or in the evening, I trust that you take some time and pray, Lord, help me to understand. Lord, open this book to me. Open the eyes of my heart that I may understand, Lord, what you are saying to me. We need to pray and ask for the Lord's help and trust Him for wisdom to make good and godly choices. We must trust in the Lord in times of uncertainty. And maybe there's a child of God in this meeting this morning and you are in a time of uncertainty. You honestly do not know what tomorrow holds or what next week holds. There are things that are happening in your life right now and they've caused you to be uncomfortable. They've caused you to be uncertain. And maybe you're looking to your friends or to your family or to what can you do to give you peace at this time. Here's what the Lord asks you to do and commands you to do, to trust in Him with all your heart. We need to trust in the Lord also in times of patience, times of waiting. We live in a very impatient society. And because of the rise of the internet, and you can just type something into Google, and within seconds you have thousands of things relating to the thing that you typed in. Because of that, we have become very, very impatient people. And yet you'll find that one of the virtues of the Christian is waiting on the Lord. One of the virtues of the Christian is resting in the fact that God's timing is perfect. And we need to learn to wait in God. We need to learn and trust in the Lord. God does answer prayer in His own time. Yes, keep praying. Yes, keep petitioning. But don't forget to keep trusting. God is in control. Maybe God has given you a promise. A promise some time ago that He would fulfill in your life. God has called you to do something, and yet it just hasn't come to pass yet, and you're getting impatient. And you want to be there yesterday. You want to be doing the thing yesterday. You want the promise fulfilled yesterday. We need to pray and trust in the Lord that He knows best. His timing is perfect. Maybe you desire a door of opportunity or a door of service to open for you. You'd like to be involved in a work or a ministry or something like that. And things just haven't worked out yet. Trust in the Lord. Be patient. There are times of waiting. We need to trust in the Lord that we will keep pressing on in difficult times. Especially when you're in the work of God and you're doing things for the Lord and you're going on with the Lord and you're seeking to win souls for the Lord and you're a prayer warrior, you will find that there are difficult times come into your life. And Satan will come with doubts and fire those little accusations into your mind. Is it really worth it? Does God really care? Does anybody really understand? Does anybody know what I'm going through? And sometimes you can go from the heights of being in a joyful spirit and elated because of what the Lord's doing. And then in a few hours later, you're down in the depths because of circumstances. You know, it's at those times we must keep trusting the Lord. We must trust the Lord for practical and for spiritual needs. Practical and spiritual needs. Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India, born in Malaya, grew up in Belfast. And once, whenever she was a child, she learned a great lesson. She went to get, there was an appeal made in the church for money for the building fund. And she thought, well, I haven't very much money to give, but I know a rich man who lives down the road, and I'm going to go to him and ask him for money for the church. And the man didn't go to the church. The man wasn't a Christian man. And she went up to the door and she said, the Lord needs money to build our church and to help our church grow. Will you give me money? And the man completely devoured her. The man yelled at her and he shouted at her. And she walked away discouraged and embarrassed. And as she walked down the lane, she said that the Lord just spoke to her heart, and she learned this lesson. As the Lord said to her, it's enough to ask the Father. You don't need to go knocking on doors for money, for a work which God has started. God will provide the need. And that was her motto through life. It is enough to ask the Father. She never asked for money or for supply in over 50 years of missionary work in India. And yet, she always received what the Lord needed her to have. She sent prayer letters to inform the people of God, or to inform the people of what God was doing in the work. And the Lord touched the lives of the people. People started to send her money. People started to say, well, look, I'm a doctor, I'm a nurse, I'm a teacher, I'm a builder, I'm a farmer. I can come out, I can help you with what you're doing. And they came. She never asked for them to come. She asked the Lord. And he sent them. And what a wonderful thing. The Lord worked in their hearts and met every need that she had. And what a lesson for us as God's people. Yes, we tell the church the need of the church, like we did this morning of our church in Liberia. But folks, we don't go to the world. We don't knock the doors to get the finances for the work of God. God always finances his will, as we heard on Thursday night. And God provides that which is necessary. And then we also must trust in the Lord when he closes doors. You know, sometimes we're so busy trying to figure out what we're going to do or where we're going to go and what door we're going to go through next that we forget about the closed doors in our lives. And sometimes God closes doors, closes opportunity, even closes avenues of service. And there are times that does happen. And we must remember when things like that happen, we must trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Why? Because, as I have said several Sunday mornings in our Bible class, a closed door is as big an answer as an open door. If God closes a door in your life, you ought to rejoice that he didn't allow you to go through it if it was not his will for you. And therefore, we need to pray for closed doors as well as, or thank God for closed doors and trust him at those times, as well as for open doors. Why can we trust in the Lord? Because it's the Lord to whom we're called to place our trust. Well, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 26. Why can we trust in the Lord? Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3. And the word of God says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. We can trust in the Lord this morning because he has everlasting strength. God helps his people. And God's help toward us never causes his resources to diminish. Even in our weakness, his strength carries us through. And notice not only that, but those who are trusting in the Lord are given a perfect peace. Now, when I went and looked up what those two words mean, perfect peace, I was surprised to know that they are the same word, shalom, shalom, in the original. And whenever two words are placed together in the Hebrew language, shalom, shalom, it is to make a great emphasis and a great impact. In other words, this just isn't any peace, but this is perfect peace. This is God's peace. This is peace that cometh alone from above. And who is this peace for? The word of God says, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. How is our mind stayed on Christ? Whenever we are in the word of God, when we are trusting and reading the word of God, trusting in the one of whom we read, that is how our mind stays upon Christ. That's why it says in Proverbs 3 verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't let the word of God sit beside you and not read it, but read God's word. Turn to Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verse 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. One of the revealed titles of the Lord in Scripture is our help or our helper. And that word, he is their help. It means aid. It's from a word meaning to surround and to protect. And notice what it says in verse 12, the Lord hath been mindful of us. Now that's a very important word. And it helps us to trust him when we understand what it means. The word mindful, it means to be marked so as to be recognized. It means to be remembered, and it has the thought of being mentioned. And in that little word, mindful, you know what it's teaching us that the Lord does for his people? First of all, that we're marked. We're marked by blood. We're marked by Christ's righteousness. It also teaches us we're remembered. We're remembered in salvation. God has thought upon us. Thus, we're remembered eternally by the Lord. And it also teaches us that we are mentioned. God has mentioned us. The Lord has mentioned us. Christ, as our great high priest, mentions us in prayer. Look at these promises God has given to us. He is mindful of us. He has marked us by blood. He remembers us. He mentions us. And then it goes on to say, he will bless us. And notice the blessing is associated because Christ has worked in us. Christ has saved us. And Christ is praying for us. All our blessings come from the Lord. And they come through the prayers of our great high priest for us. Turn to Psalm 37. Verse number 3 and verse number 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And notice there, trust in the Lord and obedience to the Lord brings blessing. Thou shalt dwell in the land. Thou shalt be fed. Thou shalt be satisfied. The sustenance shall be given. The more you trust, the more you grow. But notice what it says. When you delight yourself in the Lord, when you're taken up with the Lord, whenever you concentrate in the Lord, whenever you delight in him, as you delight yourself in the Lord, then the Lord gives you desires. And you know what the word desire means? It means petitions and requests. God places things upon your heart that are prayer requests and petitions. And as you pray those things, you enter into union with Christ and his prayers, and those prayers are answered. God gives you godly desires, things to pray for, people to receive, Christ-likeness, service, and guidance. Psalm 118 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? It's better to put trust in the Lord than confidence in man. Why? Because God is greater than man. Man can fail. Man can disappoint. Man can forget. Man can do wickedly. But God is able to do everything he has promised to do. And the final verse I just want you to turn to in this regard is Psalm 125 and verse number 1. Psalm 125 and verse number 1. And it says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. In other words, those who are trusting in Christ are established by the Lord. And when you read God's word, and when you learn about God's word, then you grow in your faith, you grow in the knowledge of the doctrines of Christ, you grow in your desire for service, you grow in your faithfulness in the place of prayer. You are like trees planted by rivers of water, which are not easily moved. When trouble comes, you don't flee, but you follow Christ. When uncertainty comes, you don't panic, but you praise Christ. How many times, whenever difficulties come, do people flee? How many times when difficulties come or the going gets tough as a Christian, do people leave the church? Or do people go away and forget about the Lord? And the problem is that they're not trusting in him in all things. And then it tells us, lean not onto thine own understanding. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, or 5, it says, lean not onto thine own understanding. And that word lean means don't support yourself or rest upon your own knowledge. Don't support or rest yourself upon your own knowledge. Why is it dangerous for you and for me to lean upon or rest upon or live our lives upon our own understanding? Well, first of all, man's knowledge is finite and God's is infinite. We don't know all things. We literally do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. But God knows what has happened in our life, what is happening, what will happen. We do not. It is not possible to see ahead or to understand clearly what is happening. But thank the Lord, we can trust in the one who does know and in the one who does see. The other reason that we ought not to trust our own understanding is because things don't always appear as they seem. You know, sometimes we see things and we can reason with ourselves what we think happened, and often we're wrong. Whenever I was at teaching college, we went to a meeting one night, and there was a person who we had been praying for, and he'd been invited to the meeting, and he promised to come and promised to come and promised to come. And we've been praying sincerely, and in the end, he cancelled. And we went on to the meeting. And in that meeting, the gospel message was preached. And as I thought of the person that we'd been praying for and the person we'd invited, I was really broken, because I thought that would just been the perfect message. That would have been for him. And I was so annoyed that he had cancelled. And I'm not a prickly emotional person, but I did cry that night in the meeting. Now, when I was walking out the door, the minister assumed I was under conviction. And he asked me, would I like to come and speak to him? I said, no, it's okay. I was annoyed about something, but I said, no. He said, no, are you sure now? Are you sure that the Lord's not speaking to you? And then I said, no, it's not. But you know, he looked at something down there in the congregation, and he made an assumption, but it wasn't at all what it actually was. It seemed to be something else. And that's why the Lord says, don't you rely on your own understanding. Because we don't always even see clearly when the thing's right in front of us. We don't always see clearly whenever the paths and the choices are laid out for us. Sometimes in churches, you know, people can be easily offended. And maybe somebody walks past someone someday and doesn't speak to them. And they're, oh, somebody snubbed me. And this is awful. Not only did they snub the person goes and tells the country that they snubbed them. And you know what? Whenever you hear the true story, the reality is the person maybe has received such bad news that they weren't even aware that person was there. And yet the person's gone out and told the country, such and such snubbed me. You see, we do not understand. We judge so quickly with so little knowledge and understanding. Jonah's understanding promoted himself. And so often that does for us. Jonah's understanding is, well, you know what? I won't go and preach to Ninevites because they're my enemy. They offend me. I would not lower myself to speak to them. And if you read the account, Jonah went down and he went down and he went down. Jonah walked by the port and he saw a boat leaving. And maybe Jonah even said to himself, well, surely this is the Lord's provision. Jonah's understanding took him far from God and made him disobedient to the will of God. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, the word of God says that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways higher than our ways. And that word thoughts means purposes. It's from a word meaning to weave. In other words, God is weaving our lives. God is causing everything by his perfect plan to be woven into our lives. And when God allows things to come into our lives, it's for our good and it's for his glory. Maybe not always pleasant. Maybe not always what we would choose. But we must be very careful that we do not seek to put our ways above God's ways or our thoughts above God's thoughts. There is a great danger when we leave God and his revealed will out of our consideration and our daily lives. You remember King David? He disobeyed God's will when he sinned with Bathsheba. And then because he disobeyed God's ways, he had to engage in further sin and deception to cover his original sin. Do you remember the day he was brought face to face with his sin? Nathan stood before him and told a story about a wicked man. And David asked for that man to be brought to him. And Nathan said, thou art the man. Thou art the man. And you know, David thought he knew what was right and what was wrong. And he thought he was in a perfect position to judge others. How his heart must have trembled that day. How the tears must have flowed. He rejected God's way. He reasoned with himself. And he paid a heavy cost for placing his reasoning above God's commands. Many a Christian has reasoned against what God has commanded. To go their own way and to do their own thing. And they have destroyed their testimony. And missed out on God's blessing. But just briefly as we close, notice the way we are to trust. Trust in the Lord, the Bible says, with all thine heart. Child of God, all your heart. Keep nothing back. Trust in the Lord with all your might, with everything that you have. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Bible says in Luke's Gospel, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And if your heart is filled with Christ, then thank God your life will be steady and found solid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Maybe you're here this morning, you've decisions to make. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't understand why circumstances are as they are. Maybe you're here this morning and you would just love for everything to be different in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you're waiting an answer to prayer. Maybe you're here and you're waiting an open door or a closed door, or you're waiting just for something to happen. Friend, here's what I would say to you this morning. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. Don't try and reason it out, but wait on the Lord. Hymn writer said, when I cannot understand God's leading, and when I do not know the reason why he should choose the path that lies before me, still to him in faith I can reply. I will trust when I cannot see. When I'm faced with adversity, I believe your will is always best for me. I will trust when I cannot see. When I feel the sting of disappointment and my dreams lie crumbled in the dust, when my best adds up to loss and failure, and the things that happen seem unjust, I will trust when I cannot see. When I'm faced with adversity, I believe your way is always best for me. I will trust when I cannot see. Let me finish just with this quote of scripture. We rejoice in thy salvation, and in thy name, and in the name of our God, will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of our Lord. In the will of God, next time I speak, I want us to come to verse number 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But this morning, here's the word of God to your heart. Trust in the Lord. Sinner, trust for salvation. Saint, trust everything to the Lord. And he promises to direct your path.